into baseball and softball mode. And we also will have a word here recapping the state championship golf season for the girls' golf team as well with head coach Kathy Hobson a little bit later on. Coming up a little later, we'll also hear from softball coach Terry Hensman as the softball team getting ready for their big Trojan tournament across the street at the Little League Complex. But up next, we're going to be talking a little baseball here for you. We'll get to that next here on KJN. This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. CarQuest for all your quality parts and service. Located at 513 Market Street in Audubon. Great people, great products, great prices. CarQuest Auto Parts in Audubon. J&R Tax Service, individual and small business tax preparation. Year-round payroll and bookkeeping services. J&R Tax Service, experienced, trained tax professionals. Located at 8 East 5th Street in Atlantic. Call 243-5028. The Dew Drop Inn specializes in ice cream delights. Try a malt, sundae, shake, cone, or tornado. They also serve sandwiches, side orders, and daily specials. The Dew Drop Inn in Adair, just behind Come and Go, is open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And welcome back here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on KJN. Chance to talk a little baseball. We've got Atlantic head baseball coach Gaylord Schelling in with us and a couple of players along with him here this morning as well as Colton Mudd and Phoenix Shadden joining us here in studios. And guys, thanks for coming in here this morning.
You bet, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Well, Coach, I'll start with you. Of course, took over the program here this year, and you're off to a 3-3 start. Picked up a win last night over Denison. You've won your last two. I guess your initial thoughts on getting back into the program and how the season started for you.
Well, it's been fun. The kids have been they've responded really well. They're trying new things. I'm trying to change just little things about it, but they've all done really well, and it's been fun to coach them. I'm tired. I don't sleep quite as well. I don't get as much sleep as I used to, you know. But that's part of the deal when you coach. But I've enjoyed it so far, and we're 3-3. We could easily be undefeated too. We lost a 2-1 game and a 4-3 game, and it's 2-2 in the top of seven. And Kevin St. Edward had a 3-run shot, which is good with two outs. You know, all those we had bases loaded in the last those three games and had a chance to win the game. But you know, that's part of baseball. And last night we played probably our most complete game. We had 13 hits, so there were 5 hits. Phoenix here was 4-for-4, and so he and I had a little bet, so I have to buy him a Powerade today. He wins this one anyway, but that's a good thing, you know what I'm saying? And Colton pitched a really good game against Nottoway Valley, excuse me. It's been too many games this week already. I've had plenty here, but Nottoway Valley, and he pitched 4 strong innings, and in a 4 and 2/3, I think, and so I'm really happy with his progress. He's really gotten stronger, and he can locate his fastball, and he has a good knuckleball and a good curveball. So, and Phoenix has been in the outfield for, 2 years now or 3 years starting. So a very solid outfielder, and obviously last night he had a squeeze bunt for us. And a lot of people don't like to do those, not to do the squeeze bunt, but he just said, okay, let's go. So.
All right. Well, Phoenix, I'll ask you a couple questions here as well. Coach mentioned here as we got started that you're the lone senior on the roster, so kind of the elderman out there leading the charge with everybody else. So you've been around with the program, so you know at least you're familiar with the high school game and can help some of those younger kids, I guess, transition into the game. Is that just part of what you see your role on the team as?
Kind of. I just like to go out there and just play with all my teammates and just play, not with just more with actions, not really
kind of lead by example type of scenario. Well, obviously a great game for you last night. You feeling good about your hitting here early on in the season?
I feel a lot better after last night, but before that I wasn't feeling too good. Just got into the box with more self-confidence.
Yeah, I think that's something too that maybe people that don't always follow baseball understand is, you know, a big part of the other side of things is not just the physical capabilities but the mental aspect of it too.
Yeah, you have to tell yourself you're gonna hit the ball or you're never gonna hit the ball.
I guess early on in the season, is there anything that stands out to you, Phoenix, as a team that you guys are doing well?
Our defense has been solid all year long. That's one of our big positives.
All right, and Colton Mudden with us here this morning as well. Colton, been pitching strong here early in the season. I guess your mindset here going into the year, what you expected from yourself and how you're performing related to that.
Practically, I'm not a power pitcher, so I rely on my defense to take care of the job when the ball's hit, and practically that's about it.
So as long as those guys are doing what they're supposed to behind you, then you're feeling all right.
Yep.
Well, you're off to a pretty good start here. Like Coach said, you had some opportunities to get some more wins up there, but, you know, 3-3, you've got a couple of wins here back-to-back. That's got to give you some confidence here as you start to get into really the big bulk run of the season here.
Yeah.
Is there anything, coming into the season that you anticipated with the team? Did you guys talk about goals, what you're trying to accomplish this year?
I haven't really talked about much about goals. I like to play one game at a time and keep moving step by step instead of looking ahead.
Is there anything, in particular with your game that you know that you need to work on here as you move on through the season to be more effective on the mound?
More location instead of putting it right down the middle for him to hit. That's about it.
Well, Coach, I'll ask the same thing to you. Anything, as far as what your team's doing well and what maybe they need to work on that you're seeing here early in the year?
Well, the kids pretty much said what I'm thinking. I think our pitching has been very strong, and our defense has been strong. We're getting better hitting. We've really worked on hitting. We're trying to take the ball opposite where it's pitched. They've kind of bought into it. I don't think they're 100% into that, but they're trying. And that's the biggest thing is they're trying to make changes, a little bit changes at a time. And as you know, Chris, baseball is, Noel Brechter was disappointed last night, but he hit the ball two line drives last night, but both outs. And he walked twice. He flew out once. So he's 0-3, but he could have been easily 2-3. And that's just the way baseball works because you can hit it. And Colton didn't. He smashed one, and he got a soft liner. I think Phoenix had one soft liner. Then he had a good thing. Like Phoenix said last night, both of them, I think, both hit curveballs. And we hadn't hit curveballs there, early in the season. Now they both hit curveballs. Phoenix stayed back, saw it, and hit a line drive to left field.
Well, and this is something I'll ask Colton here in a second, too, but this is the first season that the pitch count rules are going into effect. Obviously, it's a little bit easier for you, I guess, as a coach coming right back into it, not having to transition from not having them to now having them. But I guess, what do you think that's doing to affect your team?
Well, it's hard sometimes, but I it's important to me because I don't want kids' arms to get hurt or sore. So we limited it. We pulled Chase with 59 pitches, I think, one night where he could have went to 65, but I thought that was a point in time. Was about right for him, So last night, I think Jaden Trotter went 76 pitches. That's probably about where he should be. I think you probably went about the same, didn't you, Tuesday? So when we got to the beginning of the season, we wanted to be at 65 pitches. And that's how much we had thrown twice a week, 65 pitches. And then I wanted him to throw that many, and 75, and 80 next week. As we get along, I don't want to go any higher than that right now. But if you pitch 25 pitches, less than 25, then you can pitch the next day. So, if you have a closer, which our closer is Noel Brechter, and so what we want to do is to limit him to 24 pitches. We didn't do that last night, but that was all right because we have Chase Molnix will start today against Winterset, and we got Cooper McDermott and Mason Gergen. And Mason's done a good job last night. Mason came in a tough situation last night. I got the last guy to strike out, they had runners on second and third, I think. And so Mason's come in twice or three times and done that, so we're really happy with his. Mason throws strikes, he can locate it, and that's what Colton said is important, location.
And Colton, I guess I'll ask you about the same thing. Is that something that the pitch count stuff that even plays into your mind, or you just let the coaching staff worry about that, be out there and do your thing? How do you handle that?
I never really worry about it. I just go and do my thing, and when time's up, they'll pull me.
I guess, do you feel like that changes a little bit maybe as a team-wise strategy, having those situations where you're, like he said, he's going to have to find the right spot in the game to make that decision when somebody comes out?
Yeah, not a whole lot because we usually have everything planned out before the game starts anyways.
Oh, okay. Great. Phoenix, as That's also, I guess, affects a little bit into your game, too. It's not necessarily something you're out there on the mound doing, but it does change the game a little bit from time to time. As an outfielder, do you guys think about that, how the game's going to transition from one pitcher, you know, coming into the game from another?
Kind of just some throw harder than another, so where the team's going to hit the ball, if it's a faster pitcher, they're probably not going to catch up to it and hit it to the right side. So that's just a little bit of what I think about.
Well, and Coach, I'm sure you're always used to having a lot of guys that have to be able to pitch anyways on a high school team, so that's probably not changed much, the number that you have to have ready to do that.
Well, I think that this is more important you have more pitchers, because if you get to a certain number of pitches, they can't pitch for 2 days possibly. Mm-hmm. So now you have to kind of plan it. We kind of got our rotation right now set, but next week we got a full week. We go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we have our term on Saturday. So now we have to have extra pitchers. So those guys who have been or starters, there's four guys that really start, which is Chase McLaren, Colton Mudd, Chase Malnix, and who's my fourth pitcher? Jaden Trotter, excuse me. Sometimes I'm tired and remember everything. But,
hey, it was a long trip last night.
Yeah, it was. But those guys are starters. You know, we talked about with Colton about maybe middle relief, but I think that's where we're going to go, because I thought Colton throws harder than he said he doesn't throw hard, but he throws fairly hard. And he's got a good knuckleball and he's got a good curveball. So those are pretty effective pitches. So, you know, like last night, Jaden struggled with his change. And that's partially my fault. We haven't probably, when I do a bullpen, he hasn't worked on the change enough. He hit two guys with the change, you know. So it's probably not a good pitch if you're not throwing it for a strike. But they were hitting his fastball, and his curveball was kind of inconsistent, I would say. But, you know, he pitched pretty well. So it was a good win for us. The kids responded. We scored two, and then they scored two, and then we scored one. And it was kind of jockeying back and forth. They had runners on. In the seventh inning, we scored four. We scored one, and then Phoenix had a squeeze play, and then we scored another one. So then we had another line drive. So it was a good win for our kids, because the first inning we hit three line drive shots and didn't get any runs. I mean, it was just rockets. But you know, that's part of the game.
Yeah, a little bit of chance involved there, right, too. Well, an opportunity for folks to come out and see the team here today. You're playing here at home 1 o'clock, is that correct?
Against That's Winterset? Correct. We'd love to have people come out. I asked the kids to park up above, the athletes, so the people can park down below, and you know, the people who are older and want to come to games and come. We'd love to have them here. The kids, they're fun to watch. They're well-behaved, and they're gentlemen. So it's. I had one of the umpires came up and said, hey, it was a pleasure to work your team last night. So that was. I'm proud of those kids, young men, and it's fun to watch them play.
Well, guys, appreciate you coming in here this morning, and good luck to you here today and this busy week coming up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Atlantic Head baseball coach Gaylord Schelling, along with the players Phoenix Shadden and Colton Mudd. We'll take a break, and we'll talk a little softball with Coach Terry Hensman coming up next.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Wiggins & Johnson, a division of Ameriprise Financial Advisors. They'll help you with personal and small business financial planning. See Zach Wiggins or Jenny Johnson in Atlantic or Audubon. Messina Telephone Company, for all your communication needs. Serving the Messina, Wyota, and Corning areas. Give them a call at 712-779-2227 or go to messinatelephone.com. Fay Pharmacy, your prescription and healthcare need headquarters in Adair. That's Fay Pharmacy in Adair. Stop by today.
And welcome back now here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show on KJAN as we talk now here into the summer sports season, and we're getting a chance to speak with Atlantic Head softball coach Terry Hensman. Coach, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome, Chris.
Well, the season off and running here. I think it's always kind of weird how the end of the spring sports season blends right into starting to play softball and baseball games, and I'm sure that's a headache for you as a coach as well, getting everybody on the same page and getting going. But obviously it's worked out so far. Your team's off to a good start.
Yeah, we're pleased that our girls, we have a lot of multi-sport athletes and such. Bailey Newell just got back full-time now after the state golf tournament and the great job that she did up there. And we've got girls who play soccer and track, and so I don't know if they blend or just overlap and become a little confusing sometimes. But yeah, now we're full concentration on softball, and I think so far coming out this year, the girls have done a fantastic job as far as all aspects of the game. We've played pretty tight defense throughout the course of this early part of the season, which sometimes is a little worrisome, especially in our situation where we've filled in with so many eighth graders that have had to step up and take key roles. So we're really, really pleased with how they've been able to adapt to the speed of the game and to playing a good big role on our varsity. We have Allie Anderson back in the circle, which is always going to be helpful for any team. The nice thing about her is that pitching is going to keep you in most of the ball games, and offensively we've put the bat on the ball and done a pretty decent job. I'm not completely sure of what our stats were after the last two games we played this week, but we were batting about 3-something, 350, 375 as a team, which was very, very good. And then the big hits by Alexis Handel and the middle of our order with Catherine Leonard, Reagan Pellet, and then leading off, breaking into our lineup at the number two spot, Mackenzie Waters, doing a great job at the slap position, which is something new for her. And then, of course, Bailey Newell, who I talked about earlier with golf, is equally impressive with the on the softball side, getting on base pretty regular for us.
Well, I'm sure last year having the opportunity to head to the state tournament, get that experience, it probably created some excitement around the program and got the girls maybe a little bit more fired up and focused on, you know, trying to keep that momentum going into this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was such a fun experience for everyone involved with it, fans, girls, and I would say the coaches and coaches as well. It was very exciting for us to be able to get to the state tournament, and that's one of the things that, I guess, goals, if you will, that the girls have that to get back to that position again. And we know, though, that we've got some improving to do. I know they've got us ranked number 5 in the state right now. I guess that's probably more for media other than the fact that it does play a role down the stretch this year, as it did last year. We ended up having to go to Kemper, being ranked 3 spots behind them in the final ranking. So I guess it doesn't really matter much at this point right now during the season, but it will down the road. The highest ranking team will get to play at home on their way to state. So it would sure be nice if we were able to play that regional final game here on our own field.
Well, and we kind of talked a little bit generalities of how the team has played so far, but last night, as we record this, of course, on Friday before your game, your doubleheader there against, or your game against Denison here tonight, the Hall of Fame game that you had to kind of push back from the weekend, a little bit soggy conditions out there, so you decide to have it last night, and you take on Exira EHK and pick up a 4-0 win.
Yeah, and that's that was a good game for us to go into the heart of the conference schedule, which is coming up, last night against Denison, and then also really the heat of it into the from here on out the rest of the season. Exira EHK is a very solid team. They're very well coached. They don't make any mistakes. I think if you look down the line, there were no errors in the game, and there was some hard-hit balls that infielders and outfielders made very, very good plays on both sides. Rasmussen girl that pitches for them moves the ball inside and outside very, very well, mixes in a changeup every once in a while and throws with some speed and consistency. So that was, I think, very good for our younger girls to see. If you look up and down the line, the eighth graders struggled just a little bit at the first time at bat, but as the evening progressed, they did catch up with her and were able to hit those hit pitches that got runs in, especially Alyssa Derby with a RBI single in the fourth where we scored 3 of our runs. The other thing that I was pleased about was defensively. I think we kind of figured it out a little bit. They had runners in scoring position a couple of different times, and our key was, in this particular game, basically was to try to minimize the scores. We kind of felt like it was going to be a close game. It always is when we play Exira EHK. Usually good pitching, usually like a 1-0 ball game, something like that. And so we jumped out early trying to get that first run. Bailey Newell singled. I had Mackenzie Waters Waters lay down a nice bunt, sacrifice her over. Alexis Handel then singles, and Bailey comes in, and we end up with the first run of the game, which is what we really wanted. Then we wait until the fourth. The Rasmussen girls shut us down pretty good, but until that point, and Alexis Handel comes big for us again with a double, followed by Catherine Leonard's single, and then Allie Anderson's two RBIs, and I'd already mentioned Alexis Derby single that drove in Haley Rasmussen, who was the courtesy runner for Allie. So really, it's a good game, a big game for us, kind of a rivalry game. And the other thing is the Hall of Fame aspect of it as well, that I'm disappointed that it got postponed from a Saturday, which I think maybe would have brought a little bit bigger crowd. But as it turned out, we had a lot of folks at the game and a lot of excitement generated around Michelle McLaren receiving the award for Hall of Fame. And if you look back at the accolades of the all-state teams that she's been a part of, the all-district teams, all-conference team, first team, pretty regular while she was catching here in Atlantic. And it was fun with Tom McLaren doing the broadcast or the coverage for our game, and talking about all of the little intricacies of throwing runners out, some of the state champion runners, sprinters that she was able to throw out and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. And obviously somebody, too, that's had a big impact on your program going forward there. So it's great to be able to honor somebody like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we started mostly so we could honor maybe some of the past players and those kinds of things, and let our present players and our fans of and the support that we've gotten from so many people, but that there is a tradition and a history here. Sometimes after your 4 years are through in school, you kind of forget about all the stuff that happened in the past. And she gets to join some very, very good and very instrumental people in the softball program. Joel Sims starting the program back in 1972. Betty Jo Shopey, who was able to go on to play college and play in the College World Series, as big as that has gotten now, that's quite a milestone as well. Sharon Hoffman, who did a fantastic job for Atlantic and kind of changed the game a little bit with batting from the left side with her speed and slapping and those kinds of things, which is very prominent in the game today and certainly in ours, where we, I think earlier in the season, had four slappers in a row at that bat trying to take advantage of the smaller diamond and stuff, and then now adding Michelle.
So some great honors there, and now you move on here into the weekend. And, of course, as we mentioned, we're recording this on Friday before you play a game against Denison, and then you're gearing up for a big day on Saturday. A bunch of teams coming in here to town to be part of the Trojan Tournament here just across the street at the Little League Complex, and you should have a good time as always, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's if you like softball, that's the place to be at 9 o'clock in the morning for that first round of games. We've got a great slate of teams that are coming. And if you're a fan of the Hawkeye 10, a little over half of the teams are going to be right here in town. Some of the top teams in the league with us and Glenwood, Lewis Central, bringing in Clarinda and Red Oak, and as far as the non-Hawkeye 10, Harlan coming as well this year. That's a new addition to our tournament. We've got Exira EHK will be here again. If you didn't get a chance to come out and watch them last night, it would be a perfect to come out to get a look at a very, very good softball team. We added ACGC, which is kind of a new program over there, combining together, but they'll be here for the first time. So if you haven't got a chance to see them, it's great to come out. Audubon from just up Highway 71 here, Panora will be here, Panorama as well. So it's a huge tournament. It's a lot of fun. The format that we have implemented in the last few years is kind of a more of a round robin type of a tournament, more of a classic style where you know who you're going to play. Our games are 9, 11, and 1. They'll be playing on all six diamonds, so there'll be a lot of softball if anyone's interested to come out.
Well, yeah, and that, I guess that kind of helps, too, folks that are interested in coming out and being observers. You know that schedule. You can go see it, know when people are playing, be there at the right time, and that, I'm sure, is very convenient for everybody that's watching.
Yeah, and it's a big moneymaker for our Little League as well. They take all the concessions and do a very good job of having a full slate of concessions here as well. And it's kind of a, we like to do it in the morning a little bit, so you can still enjoy the Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. But it's a lot of fun. I'd encourage people to come out and check it out.
Yeah, great opportunity to come out and see the softball team, and a very successful one so far here this season. And we look forward to hearing some good results out of that, Coach, and we'll again be speaking with you next weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's Atlantic Head softball coach Terry Hensman. We'll be back with more on our coaches' show in just a moment here on KJN.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Family Table in Atlantic, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner with specials daily and featuring a new ice cream flavor each month. They're open daily at 6 a.m. 7 days a week. That's the Family Table, located on the west end of 7th Street in Atlantic. Oakland Pharmacy, your good neighbor pharmacy, offering competitive prices and hometown service. They're a convenient stop on your way home from seeing specialists in the city. Oakland Pharmacy, located at Highways 6 and 59 on the south edge of Oakland. Smith Heating and Plumbing Incorporated in Wyota is owned and operated by Guy and Shane Smith, who have provided quality craftsmanship since 1979. They are your authorized York and Climate Master dealer. For all your heating, air conditioning, plumbing, and commercial refrigerator needs, give Smith Heating and Plumbing a call at 712-783-4528.
And welcome back to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on KJN as we get to recap a state championship here for girls golf as we get to speak with Atlantic Girls Head Golf Coach Kathy Hobson. Coach, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, obviously exciting. I'm sure you're feeling great about picking up another championship, a back-to-back, three in the last 4 years. Just a huge accomplishment for your program.
Yeah, it's always exciting to cap off the season that way, and it's exciting just to have the kids get to the state tournament to begin with. But to go back-to-back, I think that's a first for our program, and just three championships in 4 years. The senior class here has just got tons of memories to take away from high school golf.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong legacy. It's going to be pretty hard for somebody to follow that one. But, those girls, I'm sure, will have that in their minds for the rest of their lives and some good stories to tell.
I hope they do.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look back at kind of how it happened here for you. As you went through the tournament there on day one, you went through and were ahead there just by a few strokes after day number one. So you knew that you had a battle and it was going to be a tough day number two to try to stay out in front and win that championship. How do you feel like day one went?
Well, you know, we did end up at 339 for a team total after day one, and that gave us a six-stroke cushion. But in golf, that can be dissolved in one hole per mm-hmm. girl, so not a comfortable situation to be in. Really felt like all six girls had come off the course playing pretty well. We'd seen some very good things happen from them. They were all pretty pumped with how they'd come off the course that first day. And but on the other side of the coin, New Hampton was the team behind us, and they'd come off probably feeling about the same way, I would assume, and put them in a good position. They had to feel comfortable that they were in a good position to come back the second day. So I know if I was in that position, I would have been comfortable, I guess, with a six-stroke deficit, that if we come back and play just as solid, that it was
a
possibility.
Yeah, attainable. Of course, on that first day as well, Brooke Newell, who's been a strong leader for your program for a long time, just had a terrific round there that first day. Two under, tied for the top there at the individually with a lead after shooting that 70. She had to have kind of been on top of her game.
Yep, Brooke has been our force all season, and in fact, a very strong contributor all 4 years of high school. But she came in with that 70, was tied with Emily Schnelling, who is an outstanding golfer and young lady. Felt very good about her game. She was just kind of cruising around, and we had several people make comments about watching Brooke play with that group on how fun it was just to watch her play, because she just was in kind of the cruise mode.
Yeah, in the zone there, so to speak, here after day one. So I guess going into day two, what we talked about previously before you started, kind of some of the numbers you were shooting for, you're right on track for that there after day one. So I'm sure you had to feel pretty good about that position. And it's kind of same thing as you said with New Hampton. If we play maybe the same way pretty close tomorrow, then we got a chance to win again.
And, you know, that was the whole thing. I think from the very start, we knew we were going to have to shoot under 700 as a group, which we'd done the last two championships. But I think I was guessing even closer to probably 690. Mm-hmm. If we were going to get it done. And then watching kids play, it just seemed like we went into that the end of that second day a little tighter than we had the first day. Driving up the first day, everybody was giggling and laughing and talking and just very relaxed. And it just seemed a little bit more stressful driving over to the course the second day. And to go along with that, we just kind of played kind of tentative at points. And our scores ended up being a little bit of up and down. More than what we needed. So, you know, it's it's hard to know what's going on all the way around the course when you can only watch a couple people at a time. And they were updating the computer scoring, but it wasn't updating as fast as what we were hoping it would be updating. And so we really didn't know until almost clear at the end that we were going to stay on top.
Yeah, you end up shooting a 350 there on the second day, but as it turned out, New Hampton shot a 355. They were 10 strokes higher than they were the first day as well, so they put you in position there to win. But yeah, like you said, when those last few scores started to roll in, it looked like it was kind of a little bit of back and forth there. It was going to be pretty close.
It was, and you know, I think this team, some of the experience they've gained in some of the big tournaments we've played in the last couple of years probably played a role in this as well, that you know, they get in pressure situations and thank goodness they're able to buckle down and pull it through.
Yeah, so another championship there as a team, and then Brooke Newell on that second day ends up going a little bit higher than she did the first day, but still a terrific round. That's a great total to be two over for the 2 days.
And, oh, exactly, and to awesome. Be runner-up again at the state tournament. And, again, just the experiences that she's had and the effort she has given this program for 4 years is undoubtedly the best we've had.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the gal that you mentioned before, Emily Snelling, she ends up shooting a one under there on day two, so she ends up becoming the state champion. But good battle between those two up at the top. They kind of knew, I think, going into that second day, everybody else was pretty far back behind them, that it was going to be a duel between the two.
Yeah, it was between those two girls, and said they're both outstanding golfers and are going to continue on and have outstanding golf careers in college.
Yeah, so Brooke gets to continue at Nebraska. Everybody around here knows that. But some of the other gals, too, to mention that did pretty well, I think, overall as far as the standings are concerned. Bailey Newell ended up being 13th there overall, and you also had a tie for 18th there for Alyssa Ginther. Sarah Fixmer at 20th. McKinnon Bestie was tied for 29th, and then tied for 43rd was Mary Hayes. So I think overall you got the team effort that you obviously needed to pull off a championship.
And we have to have that. It's, you know, one person can't do it alone. You've got to have the supporting field, and all year long this team has been very good at the teamwork factor. And when one person's down, another person is up. So we've been able to flip-flop some scores around, scoring possibilities around, and pull it through. But it definitely takes all six girls to get it done.
Well, and I know something that a lot of people have mentioned throughout the year and throughout the last few years here, you guys have had so much success in being able to play at state, is that, you know, they respect the way that your girls conduct themselves, too. You know, they're always very good representatives of what Atlantic is all about.
And that's always good to hear. And we heard numerous comments. You know, I mentioned earlier about a group that was watching Brooke play, but we heard that from several groups on how much fun it was to watch our girls and how complimentary they were of the other people in their group. And just the socialization part of the game is very important.
Yeah. And a great legacy, obviously, that those four seniors leave behind. Now it'll be a big, I guess, transition here for your program. Some gals that have had a ton of success, and now you've got some young ones that have been part of this, a couple of them, and now you'll obviously have to have some more filter in to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, the girls were laughing after the tournament the other day that the seniors now are kind of batting 75%. as far as their success at state tournament, whereas the two sophomores are at 100%. So, yeah, we got a great foundation coming back with Bailey Newell and Alyssa Ginther. Both of them are solid players and are willing to keep working on their game. And we hope we can pull in some younger kids and get some more kids involved in the program that want to take the place of the four seniors that we're losing and give us an opportunity to battle again another year.
Well, I'm sure having this success helps, too. It has to generate some interest, gals that see what's going on and how much success they have, how much fun they're having. They probably want to be a part of that, too.
We sure hope they do.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you, Coach. It's obviously an accomplishment from a coaching side of things, too, to help those girls along to be able to win 3 out of 4. And, of course, we mentioned that other one was just a runner-up, so you've had a lot of success here these last few years.
It's been a good 4-year run, and we hope that we can continue that in the future. And it not only takes the girls, but it takes the support of you guys, the media, and it takes the parents, it takes the school and the community. And, we have a great relationship with the golf courses here in town. So it's not just 6 people we put out on the course. It's a combination of everybody to get this done. So we thank everybody that has played a role in it.
All right, another state championship for Atlantic Girls Golf. Coach Kathy Hobson with us here this morning. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's going to do it here for this portion of our Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment here on KJAN.
The Coca-Cola capital of Iowa, a perfect place for perfect.